About 15 years ago, I had to begin wearing glasses. And now at age 46, if I take them off, everything at a distance becomes extremely blurry. Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and today we'll be looking at Psalm 36, which helps us to see clearly what may seem so far away. Psalm 36, verses 1 to 4, David says, "I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or to hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or to do good. Even on their beds they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong." In these verses, David is speaking to the condition of those who are wicked, noting they have no fear, and the Hebrew word here is like terror on steroids. The wicked have no terror of God before their eyes. This is such a horrifying reality that the Apostle Paul will use this verse as his concluding statement of those who are utterly devoid of righteousness in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. And David, in verse 2 of the psalm, will go on to speak of how they flatter themselves in their eyes. They don't see their sin. Harry Ironside once spoke of a time he asked a man if he was saved. And the man said no, but he would like to be. So Harry then asked if he recognized himself to be a lost sinner. The man said, "Well, I suppose I am, but I'm not what you would call a bad sinner. I am, I think, a rather good one. I always try to do the best I know." This man was blind to ultimate realities. He did not see how even a small sin merited him eternal damnation because of who he had sinned against, holy God. In fact, it may be that he did not see God at all, which is really what sin does. It blinds us. How many folks do you know who think they are okay to do the little sins so long as they avoid the big ones? And being blind to this, they then sell themselves to their little vices. I may be asking, why does David begin his psalm in such a terribly depressing fashion? So that you and I, friend, will see the contrast and not go that way. Because David is going to catapult us away from the dark abyss of scheming men into the glorious stratosphere of God's unlimited goodness for those looking in faith to him. Listen to verses 5 through 9. "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How precious is your unfailing love, O God! People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." Derek Kidner writes, "This is a psalm of powerful contrast, a glimpse of human wickedness at its most malevolent, and divine goodness in its many-sided fullness. We are taken here to soar to the limitless heights of God's love, to ascend the mountains to reach His righteousness, and then we're plunged into the oceans to take in God's massive justice. And then we hear the promise of how God will preserve both men and animals. Hey, maybe it's true that our dogs and kitties will make it to heaven. Then we have that imagery of resting under God's wings like little chicks, and then feasting and drinking and discovering life. And all because we can see. Our vision is clear as to ultimate realities. In God's light, we see light. And of course, it is Jesus Christ who is our illumination. Jesus says, 'I am the light of the world.' John 8:12. It makes me think of a hymn, 'Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.'" And Psalm 36 ends with a prayer in verses 10 to 12. "Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. This is an interesting prayer to conclude our psalm. David's final words speak to how he can see that those who are evil are finished. They lie fallen. But he also prays that God will act so they don't come against him. We often call this the not yet already tension you find in Scripture. God's victory is so certain that we can see and speak as though his enemies are already destroyed. At the same time, you and I look around and we see the danger of those who oppose God and who would love to put us to shame. Friend, we're to pray with 2020 future vision that still recognizes that things are not yet as they should be. I encourage you to pray that God's love will continue to those who know him, and that he will continue to show forth his prevailing righteousness through us, so that through us, perhaps, others who still walk in darkness might see a great light before it is too late. My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.